Welcome. Coming at you from Locust Grove Church, I am Pastor Joe Brazino, and since we have been gathering online to hear the Word of God, we decided to add an extra message for Sunday evening. We were doing, you know, we've been doing the Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, but we're going to add another extra message as if it was Sunday evening. So here we go. I've been praying and seeking the Lord about a word for a word about the times we're in right now, and I wanted to encourage you. I think it has substance to it. You know, I've been meditating a lot from God's Word in these days, and now that I have a little extra time and I don't have as much commute time, or I don't have the commute time that I used to have, so I'm in the Word a little more, and I was just thinking, since we're kind of quarantined, we have the shelter in place order, basically stay at home, that, you know, I begin to think about a situation in the Bible where people were quarantined like we are. And, you know, this morning as I was thinking about it, I felt like the Lord impressed this upon me in my thoughts. And that is, what about the children of Israel when God quarantined them to their homes for one night? He said, I want you to kill a lamb, a male without blemish. I want you to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of your house, and I want you to eat that lamb, and if there's any lamb left over for the morning, I want you to burn it up in the fire. But he said, don't go out of your houses, stay put inside while there is an angel of death that will be roaming around, going from house to house, and every house he sees the blood on the doorposts, God said, it will pass over that house and nobody will be killed. Otherwise, the homes without blood, the firstborn of every family, of every person, the firstborn of every animal would be killed, would die that fateful night. And so they were quarantined, and God gave specific instructions. And so, but I want us to begin with Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. And look at this. I came across this verse just today. I don't find it very coincidental at all. And so we're going to read one verse of scripture here, Isaiah 26, and that is verse 20. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. Isn't that interesting? Another translation uses the word, the fury has passed. What's God saying? Stay at home. This is God's shelter in place order. Shut the door behind you. Stay at home until the fury had passed. And I begin to think that we're kind of in a similar situation. And that is the coronavirus. And I'm not, allow me to be clear about something at the outset of the message. I do not believe that this is a judgment from God. I believe that Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there will be epidemics. There will be pandemics as a sign of the end times. So I'm sure they're dusting off that kind of message, but not me. You know, it harkens back to in Katrina, when Katrina hit and it devastated all of New Orleans because of the levees could not hold the water, and a lot of people died. They were helpless, and people, I heard preachers saying, you know, the Lord is judging New Orleans because of the voodoo and the promiscuity and the hedonism and Mardi Gras. And, you know, there's only one problem with that, that the places where all that, by and large, were held in the French Quarter of New Orleans, they were spared from the waters. So I figured, you know, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, or the brightest crayon in the box, but I came to this conclusion. So if they're saying God's judgment came on them, then I can conclude that God's aim is off. Because if he was trying to judge the French Quarter, he seemed to hit everybody else but the people in the French Quarter. Well, it's all silliness. Now, it says here in this verse, go into your homes, close the door behind you, hide yourself for a moment. Now, if we know something about the Bible, this for a moment is not always designated in terms of hours or minutes or days or weeks or months or years. It's basically an indefinite period of time. And we all are facing it. We're all in this together. I've heard people say, the young people are saying, I'm bored. I can't find something to do. Other people are frustrated. They want to be out making money. They want to be out, you know, dealing at their workplace and doing business and so on and so forth. And it's just people are going stir crazy. And so to me, I try to plan my day out to have stuff lined up for me to do that I can do, make calls. You know, I can't go to the hospital. I was there yesterday to visit one of our church people, and they had a zero visitor policy in effect. And the same goes for nursing homes. But I have a phone, and so I'm trying to reach out to people with phone calls and such. And, you know, we got to do what we got to do in the way we got to do it in. But anyway, so here we see God saying, and he's basically saying, God saying, hunker down until the fury has passed. Now, that says to me, number one, that the fury will pass. This coronavirus will not go on endlessly. This coronavirus has a deadline, and God will bring that to an end. Say amen if you believe that. Go with me to Exodus chapter 12. Let's look at some of the details of this quarantine of a night that God put his people in. He said, you're supposed to take a lamb without blemish. This is Exodus 12, verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs, that they shall eat it. Skip down with me. Verse 10, you shall let none of it remain until the morning, and what remains until the morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it. Notice carefully in verse 11, this is the way you're to eat this lamb. You are to eat it with a belt on your waist. We'll come back to that. You shall eat it with your sandals on your feet. We'll come back to that. With a staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. Other translation uses the word in readiness, for it is the Lord's Passover. Now, listen carefully. While you're hunkered down, God is saying, while you're quarantined, while you are staying at home, I want you to do this. And he says, I want you to eat the lamb. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, allow me to turn there and just read this scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I believe the verse is verse 7. It reads like this. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So who is our Passover lamb? Jesus. You know, Jesus himself said in John chapter 6, he said, unless you eat my flesh, you have no part in me. And so I want to encourage us, and I want to ask us a question during this time. Are we wasting our time in front of the television, watching Jerry Springer, watching all of these other non-essential programs, basically? You know, I would encourage you, church family, to take time to eat of the Passover lamb by opening your Bibles, reading them, studying them, or listening to these videos. You know, I'm kind of feeding you right now spiritually through scripture and trying to encourage you to sink your spiritual teeth into the meat of our Passover lamb, which is Christ. And so we're to eat that lamb. We're to eat that spiritual substance for us. And so he says here, he goes on to say in verse 11, eat with a belt on your waist. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter addresses this, I love this, with a belt on your waist. What does a belt on your waist do? It supports you, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Notice, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Fasten the belt of your mind. Why is it that a lot of people right now are scared? I will say, you have to admit, these are scary times, but just because they're scary times, you don't have to be afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, of a disciplined mind. And so here it says that we are to kind of fasten the belt of our thought life. So if we fasten that belt, you know, God told the Israelites, I want you to fasten the belt around your waist. But in the New Testament, we're told to fasten the belt around our minds. What does that mean? When trouble comes, we don't fall to pieces. I don't want to sound unsympathetic. I don't want to sound judgmental. But church family, this is what God instructs us to do. How do I gird the loins of my mind? How do I fasten the belt on my thought life so that when fear tries to arise within me, that I combat that fear with trust in God. I combat that fear with the Word of God. I combat that fear with the promises of God. This morning I read a fascinating post by one of our own, Miss Sheila Forlines. It was really powerful. She says, she was praying and talking to the Lord and, you know, with all this, facing all this uncertainty. And the Lord basically spoke to her and said, I want you to focus on what you know. And she said, I know my Redeemer lives. And church family, this is a time for us to focus on what we know. Paul the Apostle said, I know him, that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him against that day. Do you believe that of Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is able to feed you, clothe you, keep you safe and healthy and protect you and your loved ones during this worldwide pandemic? I do. Why would God all of a sudden become nervous over this coronavirus? Jesus said these things would happen. These things would befall planet Earth. It did not take God by surprise. And so listen, church family, I want to encourage you with that. Now back to Exodus chapter 12. I hope you guys are getting something good out of this. It's an encouragement. Exodus 12. Another thing is mentioned here, your sandals on your feet. Your sandals on your feet. You know, it to me, it kind of harkens to that scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, having your feet shod with a preparation, or the English Standard Version says, with a readiness of the gospel of peace. And these people were to eat that lamb, that Passover lamb, with sandals on. Their sandals fastened on their feet. So let me tell you, just because we are basically inactive to a degree as believers, does that mean that we're not ready to help others? Are we ready to offer help? Are we ready to check in on our neighbors? Are we ready to, you know, I had someone call me or text me last week and said, hey, you know, we have some people in need that need milk. And so I was up in Decatur. I could only find 1 gallon of organic whole milk. But then my daughter and I went to Shelbyville and I found 2 more gallons. Those are not a dime a dozen these days. That and toilet paper are very sparse in grocery stores. So I got those so that people could have milk during these times for their kids, their families, and so on. Now, we've got to be ready, church family. Listen to me, with good news. The gospel is good news. This is not a time for the church to panic. This is not a time for the church to throw their hands up in the air and go, ah! And go crazy. This is a time for us to fasten our thought life and say, I know my God will take care of me. I love that verse of scripture in the book of Psalms where David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen God's people forsaken or their children out begging for bread. Amen. This I know. That is my knowledge. God loves me. God's going to take care of me. God loves you. God's going to take care of you. And be ready to share the good news. You know, the good news has not ceased being good news just because we're in a period that is unprecedented. We have not gone through this type of period before. I was at the clinic the other day to pick up some prescriptions from the pharmacy, and one of our church people were there waiting with a mask and waiting to take my temperature. They were taking everybody's temperature as they walked in. Well, that's the first time I've ever seen that, but I hear that's common. That happens. We had another church member go to the hospital for an infusion, and they asked him to go about 5 minutes earlier so that they could take his temperature before he would go upstairs to get that done. You know, these are unprecedented times, and so, but we as God's people need to be ready with the shoes of the gospel, of the good news of God's love, and not only tell people, but demonstrate that love to people. You know, I love what St. Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel everywhere you go, and if necessary, use words. And finally, God tells him, eat the lamb in haste. Be ready. You know, we've been told for centuries, for millennia, be ready for Christ's second coming. And it gets so easy sometimes to lose sight of the fact that business will not go on as usual, that at some point he will come. Well, listen, can we be ready at least on a more shorter term? Can we be ready for this to blow over? Can we be ready? Can we maintain that sense of anticipation and expectation for God to do something? You know, I believe that we serve a miracle-working God, and He can end this thing as soon as it came about. I believe that. And He might just do it. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I like, you know, hearing some of our governmental officials saying they would love to see our country rearing up and going by Easter. But you know, we'll have to see. I would love to see that. I would love for us to gather together here in the sanctuary and say, praise the Lord, He is risen. And look, we're back together again. Hallelujah. But for now, we just have to maintain that attitude of readiness. So I want to leave you with this word. Take it to heart. Please remember, this is not a time to cave in. This is not a time. This is a time to fasten the belt of our thought lives and say, you know, I know this about God. He is on my side. He has never left me. He will never forsake me. He has always been with me. He's been true to me. He's been faithful to me, and He will provide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together with these beautiful people, Lord, and I pray that You would minister to them through the encouragement of Scripture. Lord, give them hope. Keep them strong. Fill them with Your peace. Give them a sense of assurance of Your presence and of Your provision for them. In Jesus' name, amen.